Hello, my name's Forrest Gump. Would you like a chocolate? My mama always said life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're gonna get. Those look like comfortable shoes. I bet you could walk around all day in shoes like that and never feel a thing. I wish I had shoes like that. Mama always said you could tell a lot by a person's shoes. Where they going? Where they been? I've had lots of shoes. I bet if I think real hard, I can remember my very first pair of shoes. Mama said they'd take me anywhere. They were my magic shoes. Does anybody know where that came from? Forrest Gump. Has everyone seen Forrest Gump?
At least once.
Yeah, at least once. Clearly, I've seen it at least once, right? No, I've seen it tons of times because it's one of my all-time favorites. If you have not seen Forrest Gump, you need to see Forrest Gump. It is a fabulous movie. But I just gave you an example of a little bit of who I am. I am a movie quoter. Any of you movie quoters out there that you'll just like pop off a movie quote in the middle of a sentence and you kind of just do it for yourself, but you also do it in case anybody else is a movie quoter and they might catch up on it? I do it all the time, you know? What we have here is a failure to communicate. Anybody know where that's from? Cool Hand Luke, very good. You want the truth? You can't handle the truth. A Few Good Men. Just tap it in. Tap it in. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo. Anyone? Happy Gilmore, yes. Henry, I knew you'd get that. I mean, I love these movies because it's Friday, you ain't got no job, and I'm not going to finish the rest of that quote. I just love them because they become part of who I am. Because you see, most of the movies that I've quoted and can quote is because I've watched them so many times. Now, my wife's not like that. She watches a movie once for the most part, and that's good. She's seen it. She doesn't need to see it again. Me? No. If I've got a movie I love, I'll watch it over and over and over again. There are some that I can basically quote from start to finish. And it like I said, it becomes part of who I am. So in the middle of just talking to somebody, I'll just spew off a, "I'm your Huckleberry," you know, from Tombstone. It's just the way that I am. And it's something that happens because I've heard it and watched it and said it again and again and again. Because that's how things become a part of us. I recently read a book called No Can Do. It's not N-O, it's K-N-O-W, Can Do. It's by Ken Blanchard. And he talks about how we take what we hear and learn, whether it's from reading a book or from going to a lecture or a symposium or something like that, or a sermon for that matter, and not only hearing it, but also actually letting it change who we are and learning and growing from it, right? Because here's the reality. After you hear this sermon today, if you're really zoned in, if you're really listening, 3 hours from now, you'll remember 50% of it. 24 hours from now, you'll forget 50% of that. And then a month from now, you'll remember 5% of what you hear today. 5%. That's basically a sentence. That's it. So how is it that we can take what we hear and learn it and let it change us and live it and become part of who we are? Well, he says, repetition. It's all about repetition. Over and over and over again. I mean, and it's not just about hearing things. It's that way in athletics. If you've ever played golf, there's this thing called muscle memory. You know, and you swing again and again and again, and one time is not enough. Just seeing somebody on YouTube do it is not enough. You've got to practice it again and again and again. It's the same as crocheting. When you learn a new stitch, one time isn't enough. You've got to keep doing it again and again and again. Anything that you do on the job, anything that you do at home, the only way to make it a part of who you are is to repeat it over and over and over again. And that's what we do with a lot of things, like Bible stories, for instance. I guarantee you that now, as good Lutherans, most of us can't quote a lot of the Bible, but we know the stories, right? And why do we know those stories? Who here knows Noah's Ark? Probably all of you, right? Why? Because when we were little kids, they started teaching us about Noah's Ark in Sunday school and in Vacation Bible School. And we heard it again and again. We heard it in church. And maybe we saw the Noah's Ark movie. And some of those Bible stories are repeated time and time and time again. We know the Christmas story. We know the Easter story because we've heard about it. We've learned about it time and time and time again. In the Lutheran church and some other liturgical churches, we have what's called the Revised Common Lectionary. And in that, we repeat the same readings every 3 years on a three-year cycle. And the thing is, some of those stories are also repeated in different Gospels. Today's Gospel reading, for instance, we're not only going to hear once next year in Mark's version of it, we're going to hear it twice. We're going to hear it in Lent and in Pentecost next year. So we know this story about Peter, right? Where Jesus foretells his crucifixion and his resurrection. We've heard this story many, many times. But the question is, we know all these Bible stories, but how well do we understand them? How well do we understand our faith? Because it's one thing to know, but it's another thing to understand, isn't it? Because I can know all the movie quotes there are. I mean, the truth is, the Cool Hand Luke one, I've only seen that movie one time, but that's just a famous quote, and so I know it. What happens in the movie, I really don't remember that well. I don't understand what part of the movie that comes in. So just because I know the quote doesn't mean I understand it. Just because we know the stories in Scripture doesn't mean we understand how it impacts our lives, do we? Case in point, today's gospel reading. Over the last month, it's sort of been the month of Peter. It started about 4 weeks ago when we had a reading about Jesus walking on water. But in my opinion, it's just this much about Jesus walking on water, because the more impressive thing is the fact that Peter walked on water. And as he walked out there and the wind started blowing, he started sinking. And Jesus said to him, "You have little faith. Why do you doubt?" The next week, the part about Peter is easy to miss, because Jesus is teaching and he tells some parables, and it's Peter that says, could you tell us what you meant by that? And he says, "Peter, you still don't understand? You've been with me all this time and you still don't get it?" But then last week, Peter becomes a rock star. Jesus says, "Who do the people say that I am?" And they say, some John the Baptist, some Elijah, some Jeremiah, one of the prophets. And then Jesus says to him, "But who do you say that I am?" And they're quiet, but Peter speaks up and says, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Boom, mic drop. Peter's the hero. But then, in the next paragraph, in the very next event, like 5 minutes later, Jesus begins to talk about, okay, well, the Son of Man, we've got to head to Jerusalem. I'm going to be handed over to the scribes, the chief priests, and the elders, and I'm going to be killed, and on 3 days rise again. And here's Peter again. "God forbid it, Lord. That must never happen to you." And Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan. For you're setting your mind not on heavenly things, but on human things." Peter knew that Jesus was the Messiah, but he didn't understand what that meant. And I think that's the same problem that we often run into. We know more things about our faith than we actually understand. And it's not just here. I mean, it's across the board. Christians seem to be able to pick out all kinds of Bible passages and throw it up to other people and say, see here, you're doing wrong. See here, you're supposed to be doing it this way. See here, you're not supposed to do that. See here, you're supposed to do this. We know what it says, but do we understand what it means? Because I think that if we understood what it meant, our lives would look a lot different. I think that we're sort of missing the boat, because Christians today seem to think, and well, Christians forever have gotten this impression that our faith is all about being good and not doing bad. It's about following the rules and you know, sticking to this path and walking between the lines. But you know something? That's not what it's about. At the end of the day, our faith is about love. Plain and simple. Love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Why did Jesus die? Because of love. We heard it in our second lesson. Let love be genuine. It always begins with love. Loving our God, loving our neighbor, loving ourselves. That is the bottom line of our faith. It's not about following all the rules. Look, we follow the rules because we love God. But the thing is, we're going to mess up time and time again. And because God loves us, we have forgiveness. But we're so worried about doing it our way, about it's got to look like this and talk like this and act like this and vote like this and believe what I believe and say what I say and be like me. Everything has to be my way, the way I understand it, the way I think it ought to be, when what it really is about is love. So how do we gain some sort of understanding in all this? Well, Jesus tells us. He said, if anyone to become my followers, let them deny themselves, pick up their cross, and follow. So the first step in this process is what? Deny yourself. In other words, stop putting yourself first. It's not about the way you think it ought to be. It's not about the way you think things ought to look or sound or taste. It's about giving that up. It's about putting yourself behind others. It's about stepping forward in love instead of pointing out with a finger. Deny yourself. You don't have to be right all the time. It doesn't have to be your way all the time. Deny yourself. And then pick up your cross. And now usually when we think pick up your cross, we're thinking about some burden we have to bear, right? Picking up your cross. What's that cross that you have to bear? Well, you know, it's my health. It's my children. It's my spouse. It's, you know, it's my job. The burden I have to bear. No. Jesus died on that cross as a sign of love. That cross that we pick up, that we bear, is the cross of love. And yeah, it's a cross because it's not always easy to love. Especially if they're not like us. Especially if they don't agree with us. Especially if they're difficult people to love. It's a challenge. It was difficult for Jesus. I mean, his very own people rejected him. And yet he bore that cross for our sake anyway. That's a cross we're called to bear. And then we follow. First we deny. Then we pick up that cross. And then we follow. Deny, pick up, follow, repeat, over and over and over again. That's the way we do it, folks. Again and again and again until it becomes part of who we are. Because we're not going to get it right every time. We're not going to know how we're supposed to be every time. Sometimes we're going to fail. So we do it again and again. And again, until it becomes part of who we are. Because it is part of who we are. So my friends, let me encourage you. Deny yourself. Pick up your cross. Follow. Repeat. Amen.